We're going to begin here on Chav Berem and Aleph, Masechet Kinim. Masechet Kinim, which actually in the Mishnayot is found as the last Masechet in Kodoshim. Over here, it's found after Melilah. Masechet Kinim is also mentioned in Masechet Avot, Kinim. Upitchei Nida, hein hein gufei halachot. Kinim is our Masechta. Pitchei Nida is actually a Mishnah, according to many, that we saw in Erachin, the very difficult Mishnah where a woman loses her count for the beginning of Nida versus her Yumei Ziva. They are considered to be Gufei Halachot. They're the Iker Torah Shebaal Peh that we get Schar for. Then even though these Halachot are really only relevant when the Mikdash is Kayam, nevertheless, they are still Ikarei Gufei Halachot today, even though the Mikdash is not Kayam, or that they require tremendous investment of time in order to understand them and to get to the bottom of the core of the issues that are here. Or it's indicating to us that before a person moves on to a Chachmot Acherot, that he has to get to the bottom line of Hilchot Torah, so he picks the hardest issue in Masechet Kodeshim Kinim, and the hardest issue in Masechet Torah, which is Pitchei Nida, to say, until you've mastered that, don't move on to other things. Or they are the core of Chachma Yunit, which is the Shleimut HaSeichel HaYuni, which is the ultimate way to get close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Kinim, which have the mathematical and complex logical types of decision-making, or Sfeikot, and that we'll get to as we move through Masechet Kinim, as you get to the third parak, it builds and becomes more and more complex, the questions of the Sfeikot that arise. Just as a background to Kinim, the word Kain obviously means a nest, but in Lashon HaMishnah, Kain means a pair of birds. And when the Mishnah wants to speak about a single bird, it calls it a Preda Chat. Within the Kinim, there are actually two different types of Kinim. There's a Kain of Chova, and there's a Kain of Nidava, an obligatory Kain and a voluntary Kain. And that arises from where the birds are found in the Torah in terms of Karbanot. We have one parsha of the birds that is found in Sefer Vayikra, in the beginning of Vayikra, with the list of the olot nidava that you can bring. It starts out with the olot beima that you can bring, and then afterwards it talks about the olat ha'of that you can bring. And the olot ha'of can come from torim or b'nei yonah. So torim or b'nei yonah are the birds that can be used for any of the Karbanot of the birds. And that is what we call a kain nidava, or birds that are brought on a voluntary basis, and they are always olot. They are always olot, and therefore if I say to you I have a pair of birds that are voluntary offering, or a kain nidava, that means that I have two olot that are being brought. On the other hand, the remainder of the times that birds are used by karbanot are by a kain of chova, an obligatory offering. They're only found in the karbanot ha-yachid. There is no korban tzibur that involves birds. Only Karbanot HaYachid involve birds. And they appear in a number of places. Once at the end of Parshat Vayikra with regards to the Korban Oleh V'Yoreid. That's a Korban where a person, depending on their economic ability, brings a different Korban. So one of the alternatives, the middle level of economic ability, means to bring two birds. And those two birds are a Chatat and an Olah. And that is true of all of the Kinim that are Chova, that they are brought with one chatat and one olah. There's only one exception to that rule, we'll get to it in a second. But otherwise, all kinim that are brought as a chuva are always brought two birds. That means either two bnei yonah or two torim. And each one of them is a chatat and one of them is an olah. The other places where birds are found is in Parshat Tazria and Mitzora. Parshat Tazria in the beginning, when it talks about a yoledet has two options in terms of what she brings. If she is more economically well off, she brings a behema for her olah, and she brings a bird for her chatat. Now then, if she doesn't have the means, that she brings an olah and a chatat from the birds. So that's one exception to the rule where a bird is brought as a chatat in accompaniment to a behema. But normally, when we have them together, that they're brought as a pair, as an olah and a chatat, that's true of the yoledet, the one who gives birth, the woman who gives birth, doesn't have the economic means to bring the animal. She brings, instead of the kivsa, she brings an olah and a chatat from the birds. The mitzora, if he can't afford to bring the higher form of behemot, three behemot, to be mitar himself from mitzora, then two of those behemot, the olah and chatat, are replaced with birds. The asham is still brought from a kevis, but on the other hand, the olah and chatat are replaced, which were kvasim, now we're replaced with olah and chatat that come from the birds.
And similarly, a nazir, shenitma b'meit, He brings an Asham Nazir, along with a Chatat Anulah that come from the birds.
The end of the Parsha of Mitzorah, then you have the din of a Zav and a Zavah, Zavah Gdola. Zav and Zavah also attain their Tahara through birds, and one Anulah and one the Chatat. And one last thing before we begin is that when it comes to a Kan, or when it comes to the Kinim, there's something called a Kan Stuma and a Kan Mifureshet. A Kan Mifureshet is where the two birds that you are bringing are defined what their purpose is. If they're both Olot, you call them Olot. If they're both Chatat and Olah, you declared or designated one of the birds as a Chatat, one of the birds as an Olah. A Kan Stuma is where the woman, and that's generally in Kinim, we're going to find it talking about a woman because that's the most likely scenario of someone who brings birds is a woman because a Yoledet brings birds for her Korban. So a Kan Stuma is a case where a woman who brought the birds did not designate or declare which one was an Olah and which one was a Chatat. She brings two birds without declaring which one's a Chatat, which one's an Olah. We learned actually the din of Rav Chista in Mi'ilah, it's actually found in Yoma and in Mi'ilah, that when it comes to birds, you can only designate their purpose at two times. Once is B'lekicha, the time that you purchase them, the time that you're makdish them. At that moment in time, you can declare whether they're an Olah or a Chatat. If you don't declare at that time, the next possibility to declare them is the time that the Kohen is doing the Avoda and placing them on the Mizbeach, the time that he works with them, the Kohen can then designate which one's an Olah, which one's a Chatat. So it's a binary option, either at the time that you purchase them, or the time that the Kohen's doing the Avodah. Those are the only two options for when you designate or declare these birds to be an Olah and a Chatat. Now, our Mishnayot are going to begin with some broad declarations or discussions of the dinim when it comes to birds that are brought on the Mizbeach. It's a little bit of Chazara from what we did back in Tzvachim and the Minachot. And then the Gemara will slowly, the Mishnah will slowly lead into the different cases that are going to come up, which are basically the basis of everything that happens here in Masechet Kinim, which is somebody got confused, something got mixed up. Okay, now we're going to begin the Mishnayot of Kinim. Chatat Of Nasit Lematan, V'Chatat Beima Lemalun. When it comes to Chatot that are brought, the Chatat Of is done while the Kohen is standing on the floor of the Azara and does the Avoda by the Mizbeach on the floor of the Azara, on the Dromit, Maravit, on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach. On the other hand, a Chatat Beima, a Chatat that is brought from an animal, is then on top of the Mizbeach. Now, as far as Shechita and Kabbalat Adam are concerned, even a Chatat Beima is done on the floor of the Azara. The Shechita has to be done in the Tzafon, on the northern side of the Mizbeach, three-way machloket in the Gemara and Zvachim as to what is considered Tzafon HaMizbeach. Then the Kabbalat Adam has to be done and then brought to the Mizbeach. The Zrikat Adam for a Chatat Beima is done on top of the Mizbeach, and that's because Chatat Beima requires karnot. They place on the corners of the Mizbeach. In order to place on the corners of the Mizbeach, the Kohen would have to ascend the ramp of the Mizbeach and then walk around the Mizbeach and place dam on each of the corners of the Mizbeach. And that's what it means here. Chatat Beima is lemalan, is done on top of the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Chatat Of is done on the floor of the Mizbeach. The reason for that is because Chatat Of requires that the dam go the Yisod HaMizbeach, reach the base of the Mizbeach. That is only possible when you are standing on the floor of the Azara and doing the Avodat Adam towards the Mizbeach. If it wants to be on the upper half of the Mizbeach, that means either walking on the top of the Mizbeach, or walking on the Sovev, which is a walkway around the Mizbeach that is 6 amot off the floor. That Sovev, if you did the Avoda on the wall when you're standing on the Sovev, the blood would drip down to the Sovev, to the walkway itself, and not to the Yisod. Therefore, the requirement to have the blood be or reach the Yisod HaMizbeach means that the Chatat Of must be done while the Kohen is standing on the floor of the Mizbeach. And then he does Melika, because the Shechita for a bird, which is that he presses his thumb through the back of the neck of the bird. And then he has to do Hazat Adam and Mitzuy Adam. He does Hazat Adam, which is that the bird squirts out blood that goes towards the Mizbeach. Then afterwards, Mitzuy Adam is where he presses the bird up against the wall of Mizbeach in order that the blood will drip down to the Yisod. So in terms of Melika, yeah, Chatat Of there, the Melika is done on the top of the Mizbeach is fine as well. The only thing that you need down at the bottom of Mizbeach is the Hazat Adam. And possibly we saw Machloket earlier in Mi'ilah with regards to Mitzuy Adam, whether it's mi'akev or not mi'akev. If it is mi'akev, then you would also have to do it down below on the lower half of the mizbeach. Then the Gemara says volatov. Olatov is done above on top of the mizbeach, and the olat beima is done lematan. The olat beima that is brought is done below. That's true of all the karbanot that require what's called shtaim shein arba, two which are four, which is that you take the utensil in which the receptacle in which the blood was captured be kabbalat adam, and then the kohen stands and then he throws from the bucket the blood or towards the mizbeach, but he does it towards a corner. He does it in the southwestern corner and the northeastern corner. Blood then hits the corner and spreads across the two sides. And therefore you have what's called shtayim. You're on two corners that make arba, that hit the four corners of the mizbeach. So that's for an olat beima, which is done below while the kohen is standing on the floor of the ezra, towards the wall, the corners of the mizbeach. On the other hand, the olat ofra is required to be done on the top of the mizbeach. And that has to do with the fact that there is a hekesh between the melika of the oaf and the haktarat oaf. By the olat oaf, it says that one does melika and then has to do haktara. The haktara has to be obviously on the top of the mizbeach. The haktara is the placement of the bird onto the pyre on top of the mizbeach. So that is clear that the kohen has to be on top to do that. So the hekesh between the melika and the haktara tells us that the olat oaf, all the avodah of the olat oaf is done on the upper half of the mizbeach. And when it comes to the olat oaf, everything goes on to the mizbeach. After you've done the mitzui adam of the olat oaf, the head of the oaf and the body of the oaf replace the mizbeach. After you take out murata, benotza, you take out some of the intestines and the feathers and you throw them to the beit hadoshen, and then the remainder of the bird goes entirely on the mizbeach. It's kulo lashem. The chatat oaf, on the other hand, chatat oaf, nothing of the oaf goes on his back besides the dam. The remainder of the bird belongs to the kohanim, and they eat the chatat oaf. So now we have, just a way to remember this, that by birds, it's up is up and down is down. I mean, that olat oaf is done on the upper half of the mizbeach, and the chatat oaf is done on the lower half of the mizbeach. And after that, all you have to know is that behema is just the opposite. Chatat behema is done on the upper half of the mizbeach, and the olat behema is down on the bottom. So the easiest to remember is that the olat oaf is lamala. So olat oaf is on top, and from there you can work out the rest of those items. Vimshina bazeu bazeh. If you switch them around, you mean you did an olat oaf below, or a chatat oaf above, and the same with behema, if you switch them around, then pasol, that's posel the korban, exactly which parts can be done up and down, we discussed before, that not everything is ma'akev. But in general, the most important parts of any of these karbanot must be done, which is the zrikat adam, must be done in their proper location. Now, seder kinim kachu. So here the Mishnah gives you some background to kinim. Hachova, when you're talking about a kan chova, as we discussed in the introduction, echad chatat ve'echad ola. It's one chatat and one ola. Bin nidarim u'nidavot, when it comes to a neder nidava, which means a voluntary kan, the kan nidava, as we spoke before, is kulan olot, are all made up of olot. Izu neder? What's the difference between a neder and a dava? And a neder, omer arei alai ola, that's when a person says that I am obligated to bring an ola. They obligate the person, they obligate the gavra, not a direction of me magdish, a specific item towards that purpose. So they say that I have obligated myself to bring an ola, then they become responsible to bring an ola. They can be magdish something to discharge that obligation, but their obligation is not discharged until they actually bring an ola. Isun nidava, on the other hand, and nidava is omer zu ola. It's the chefes, the object itself that you are makdish. You are makdish, a specific object to be the ola, your bird, to be an ola. If you succeed at bringing it, then good. If something goes wrong along the way, you have no obligation to replace it because the obligation was on the chefes, that this object be an ola, not on the gavra, not on the individual to bring such an ola. That's the difference that we've seen throughout Shas between a neder and a nidava, here described in the Mishnah. Ah, ben nidarim. Just like we just described now, what's the difference between a neder and a dava? If a neder dies or is stolen, the animal that you designated to discharge your obligation of the neder, you got to replace it because the gavra, the individual, is obligated to ensure that an ola gets on the mizbeach. Nidavot. On the other hand, when you bring a nidava, if it dies or is stolen, you have no responsibility to replace it because your obligation was only to make sure that this chayfetz gets to the mizbeach. If you're unable to do that because it's dead now or was stolen, then you're no longer obligated as a gavra, as an individual, to replace and bring an ola. If you find the animal, or it's returned to you, then you will have to put it on the Mizbeach. But otherwise, you have no obligation outside of this chayfetz, of this specific animal, to bring them onto the Mizbeach. Now the cases of kinim begin. Again, this is the core of what kinim is all about, is when there's confusion or things got mixed up with the birds that were brought to the Mizbeach. Chatat shenit arva be'ola. We have a chatat that got mixed up with an ola. Ve'ola shenit arva be'chatat. So I have a bunch of birds that are designated to be olot, or I have a bunch of birds that are designated to be chatot. And then all of a sudden, one of the opposite type goes in. So if I have a group of birds that are designated to be olot, and all of a sudden a chatat bird flies in there. Now we have 1,000 olot and 1 chatat of. Or the other way around. You have 1,000 chatot of, and then 1 olah flies in there and gets mixed up. That's what the Mishnah says here. Afilu echad ribo, yamutu kulam. They all must die. They all must die here because there's no way to know which one is the chatat and which one is the olah. And there's no solution to the problem because any single bird that you bring to the Mizbeach, even though you have 1,000 olot and 1 chatat, if you do everything like an olat, there's a chance that any bird that you take is the chatat of. And if you do it above, on the upper half of the Mizbeach, it's pasul. So we're not going to let you bring a korban pasul to the Mizbeach. So therefore, yumutu kulam, they all are to death, they all die, because there's no solution to this problem, there's nothing they can do. You can't say, shiyu batel berov. Why don't we just say, 1,000 to 1, it's batel berov, because balchai is considered to be something that's chashuv, considered to be something of significance, and since balchai is of significance, it's not batel. It's not nullified within the context of many other balei chayim. So therefore, there's no option here, there's no bitul.
And there is no pidyon. You're unable to redeem birds that get a mumim then, because that only applies to behemoth, to animals. Psula mukdashim is not a din in ofot.
There is no solution in terms of placing them on the mizbeach, and there's no way to know which one's the chatat, which one's the olah. Therefore, yamutu kulam. And the next, chatat shnitarva bechova. If you have a chatat, a single bird, a preda, that's a chatat that gets mixed up with a kan chova. Again, we said before, a kan chova is made up of an olah and a chatat. In kasher, ela k'minyan chataot shebechova. Then the only thing that you can place on the mizbeach is the number of chataot that are found in the number of chovot that you have here. V'chein, and the same thing is true the other way. I'll come back and explain this in 1 second. Ola shenit arva bechova, and ola, one bird that's an ola that's mixed up with a chova, kan chova, which is made up of a chatat and ola. In kasher, like a minyan olot shebechova. The only thing that's kasher is the number of olot that are found in the chova. Whether the chova is considered to be, or you have a large number of chovot that are here, and only a small number of nidavot, meaning olot, or whether you have a lot of olot that are here, for chova muet, and you have a small number of kinim chovot, or whether they're equal. So the case over here will give a simple case to start out, and then we can show how when we expand, how the same din is true. Let's say, for instance, the first case in the Mishnah, where you have a chatat. You have a single chatat that flies into a kan chova. Kan chova is made up of a chatat and a ula. So now I am left with 3 birds at this point in time. What could I do with these 3 birds? Well, any one of these birds, if I take them, what's the possibility? I have a kan chova stuma, which is that it was never defined whether it was going to be a chatat or ula. So those 2 birds, either one of those birds could be the chatat or the ula. I have 1 chatat there that flew in, that only could be a chatat. So now I take the first bird and I say, you know what? I'm going to make that into a chatat because I know that that's what flew in there and I know that that's part of the kan chova. So I do the first bird as a chatat, miman of shach, I'm okay. Because either it was the bird that flew in and that's a chatat, or it's one of the 2 from the kan chova, and therefore I'm okay. I go to the second bird now, what do? The second bird is much more risky, because at the second bird, if I make it into a chatat, the possibility is that it's the second bird of the kan chova, which is supposed to be an olah. The other possibility is that it's the chatat, but fine. Can't do that. What I'll do, I'll make it into an olah. When I do olah, I'm also at risk. If I get the other partner from the pair that was in the kan chova, fine. But if I get the chatat that flew in, then I have a problem. So I'm limited to 1 chatat in that case. The 1 chatat can neged the number of kanei chova that I have here. So now let's move on to the more complex case. What happens if I have a single chatat that flies into a pair of kinim? I have a kinim of chova, which means I have 4 birds now. 4 of those birds, 2 of them are going to be olot, 2 of them are going to be chatot. I have 1 chatat that flies in there. How many chatot can I bring? I take the first bird and I say, I'll make it into a chatat. Again, the amount of shach, I'm okay. Because either I caught the bird that flew in and it's a chatat. Or I got one of the two pairs of birds and I'm fine because then it could be a chatat. Therefore, I'm okay. I move to the second bird. If I move to the second bird, I can also bring it as a chatat again. Because what are the possibilities here? Again, either it's the outsider that flew in, the chatat, which is fine. Or it's the other pair for the other pair of birds that I have there. I have two chatot that I need to bring. So I'm fine to bring those two chatot. I move to the third bird, now I'm in a problem. The third bird, if I bring it as a chatat, again, the possibility is that it is a chatat, but the other possibility is that it's the pair. Right, exactly. If the first two were from the pairs of birds that were there, then their partner needs to be an olah. Their partner needs to be an olah, then the chatat can't be brought as a chatat. Again, what am I going to do? Make it into an olah? The risk of making it into olah is that I might get the bird that flew in, be a chatat. So here I'm limited again to two chatot. What's defining for me the limitation? The number of kinim that I have here, the number of pairs of birds that we have here, the same will be true in reverse when you go to olah. Or, let's do a case where I have three chatot that fly in. Three chatot fly in into those pair of birds that I had. I have two pairs of birds there that are kanei chovas, tumot, and I have three chatot that fly in from the outside. How many chatot can I bring here? If I bring the first one as a chatat, I'm fine. Because again, it could be one of the birds that flew in, one of the three birds that flew in, or one of the four birds that I have here that are part of the kanei chova. I go to the second bird, I bring it as a chatat, I'm also okay. Because it's either one of the three birds that flew in, or it's one of the four birds that are there, and I need to bring at least two chatot from those pairs of birds. I move to the third bird, I'm in trouble. Because at the third bird, already when I have a chatat as the third bird, it's a possibility that all these three birds came from the four that were designated to be for the chova. That means that this third bird should be an olah, not a chatat. I can't bring an olah because I'm at risk for the birds that flew in, the three. Again, I'm limited to the two chataot that come from the kanei chova that are there, the number of kanei chovot that are there. So because of that, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. Doesn't matter which is greater or smaller, the ones that flew in or the ones that are there, the kanei chova. The only thing that determines over here is how many kanei chova you had. How many pairs of chovot did you have? Because that'll be the maximum amount of that type of bird that you can bring. It'll be true of a chatat, and in the verse, it'll be true of an olah. So now the Mishnah continues in Gimel. That's true when the birds that were there were chovot, meaning that they were kanei chovot. And then the nidavot flew in. In a case where you have two chovot that got mixed together, or achat lezu, achat lezu, shtein lezu, shtein lezu. You had one pair of chovot, one pair of chovot, or you had two pairs of chovot, two pairs of chovot, shalosh lezu, shalosh lezu. You had three pairs of chovot and three pairs of chovot that got mixed together. Then, mechsa kasher or mechsa pasul. Half of them are kasher, and half of them are pasul. Because over here, I have, and we're going to get to it in the second half of the Mishnah again, which is that I have, say, we'll do it the simple case where I have a pair each that fly together. So now I have four birds that are together in a group. I can pull out one bird, and I can bring it as a chatat. I pull out a second bird, I can bring that as an olah. Because either way, I'm successful at doing something. If I bring out the first one as a chatat, that could be from any one of the four birds. Could have been a chatat, because these are undefined birds. They're katan stuma. Since it's a katan stuma, the chalah and chatat were not defined. I pull out a chatat, I brought it either from group A, group B. Doesn't matter, I brought a chatat. After that, I bring an olah. Again, it doesn't matter. Either I got the olah with the pair from the first one, and I matched the pair, and I have an olah and a chatat brought. Or I got it from the second grouping, I got it from B, and it's an olah, which I'm allowed to bring, because there is one olah. Once I move to the third bird, I'm in trouble. The third bird, what am I going to bring it as? If I bring it as a chatat, it's at risk. That's the pair to the original chatat that I brought, and you can't do it. Or if I bring it as olah, that's a risk that it was the pair to the olah that I brought. So what I'm allowed to be brought is the half the number of groupings that came together. So I have one and one. I'll be able to bring one pair out of the two that are the pairs that are there. If I have two and two come together, which means I have four pairs there, I'll be limited to two pairs that I'm allowed to bring. I'll bring two olot and two chatot. If I have three and three, which means I have six birds from each side coming together, I have 12 birds together now, I can only bring six birds. I can bring three pairs, because that's the maximum is the number of pairs that I have. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us now, that when it comes to achat lezu, ushtayim lezu, if there's one pair that got together with two pairs, or shalosh lezu v'eser lezu, if I had three that got together with 10 male lezu and then 100 of them, hamu'at kasher. The lesser amount is kasher. So before we had to be even. When it was even, we just said, okay, you take half and they're good. Do half of them as alot and chataot as pairs and you're okay. But once you have a lower number, say you have one and two pairs, pair A comes in and you have pair B that's made up of four birds. They come together. So over there, what am I going to do? If I bring an ola, fine, no problem. I brought an ola. Either came from pair A, which is allowed, or it came from the four B, which is also fine. Then I bring a chatat. What's the chance there? Either it came from pair A, when it's the partner to one, that's not a problem. I bring the chatat. If it came from B, it's fine also, because there you need to bring a chatat from there also. Once I go to the third bird, I'm in trouble. So that the third bird, if I bring it as an ola for the third bird, there's a risk that the original ola came from pair A. And then I'm bringing a second ola from pair A, which I can't do, because I can't bring two olot. Now I'm stuck. So the guiding line will be the lowest number of pairs that got mixed into the group. So I have 1, 3, 10, and 100. You'll be limited to bring one pair of birds, and that's it. Because once I cross over that, I'm at risk that I'm mixing up and I'm bringing two olot from the same pair or two chatot from the same pair. And that's what the Mishnah says here, that hamuat kasher, the lowest common denominator, I mean the lowest number of pairs that have fallen here, are the number of chatot olot that you can bring on the mizbeach. Ben mishnei mechat, whether it's from one obligation, ben mishnei shemot, or two obligations, ben mishachat from one woman, ben mishnei anashim, or two women. And ketzad, now the Mishnah will define each of those. What is mishnei mechat? Leida veleida. That got mixed up here was a pair of birds brought for a woman who gave birth, and another pair of birds that was brought for a woman who gave birth. Ziva v'ziva, or it's a zava gedola. Right, it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara is just defining. Correct. The karbanot, we said that in the introduction, that all of these karbanot are the same, which is one chatat and one ola. And says, at least with the yoledet, talking about a poor woman who is a yoledet, she brings a chatat and ola from birds. So we are leida and a leida. What's shem echad or zava and zava? That's mishem echad. Mishnei shemot means that you have a pair of birds for a leida that got mixed up with a pair of birds for a zava. So you got mixed up, but you had two different reasons that they were brought. Again, they're both olot. Each one of them is an ola and a chatat mixed together. But, nevertheless, they are two pairs. You have a pair that came from leida, a pair that came from zava gdola. Ketzad mishtei nashim. How do you have two women? Alzu leida, bazu leida. Rachel had a birth that she had to bring the birds for, and Leah had a birth that she had to bring the birds for. Alzu ziva, bazu ziva. Rachel had to bring a birds for her zava gdola. Leah had to bring her birds because she was zava gdola. Mishnei mechad, that's for one woman. Mishnei shemot, it's one type with two women. Correct. What they're going to do is they do all the permutations, which is that with two women, you can still have mishnei mechad. And then the last case is mishnei shemot, means that you have two women with two different types of yisurim, and that means that one Rachel is bringing for a leida, azu leida, azu ziva. And Leah is bringing it for a zava gdola. So that's where you have shtei nashim, that is shtei shemot. Just defining for us those terms. Two women pooled their money together and they purchased four birds. Each one of them was chayavet, two birds. They pooled their money and now they have four birds. Or they gave their monies to the kohen. For whichever woman the kohen wants, he can define the birds. So yakriv chatat, or le'ezah shiyotzeh, kohen yakriv ola. Ben mishnei mechad, ben mishnei shemot. It doesn't matter if these women are of the same Isur, of a different Isur, doesn't matter. They gave him the four birds. He'll define Ola and Chatat for this woman, Ola and Chatat for that woman. The Gemara in Eruvin quotes this Mishnah and says it proves from here that Rabbi Yossi believes Breira, that there is a din in Breira, that you can, after the fact, make a determination that will be mashpil, that will impact retroactively on the origins of the case. Over here, you have to bring a Chatat Lishma. You have to have the Chatat be yours. You have to own it, and as you brought Lishma. So here, the Kohen is defining after the fact that women purchased these birds. The Kohen is defining after the fact which bird belonged to this woman and which bird belonged to that woman. So therefore, the Gemara says in Eruvin, that means that Rabbi Yossi must hold of Breira, the ability to decide later on about information that we need up front. We need to know which Rachel birds are Rachel's birds. We need to know which birds are Leah's birds. The Kohen, when he's been makriv them, is determining that fact. And retroactively, we'll assume that the birds they purchased, these birds belong to Rachel, and these birds belong to Leah, even though they had pooled their money and bought it together. We can define it after the fact, and that will have impact retroactively. The Gemara then says no. It's not the case. Don't prove from this that we also see that the din is in Breira. Here, where they did it out tonight, sheet nu. They made a condition. So Rashi says, what's the condition? That, whichever one the Kohen says, that'll be the one that we bought. Tosfot says, what do you mean, Rashi? That's Breira. That's exactly the case of Breira. If you're saying that when the Kohen defines it, that's exactly what we meant when we bought it, that Tnai is only according to one who says Breira again. You didn't solve the problem.
There's no such thing that I had in mind.
Yeah, no, it's Igle Milta, that's the birds that were mine. That's what we're doing here. It has to be that Rachel has birds and Leah has birds, but they pooled their money. So the Kohen is deciding retroactively that those birds were Rachel's birds and these birds were Leah's birds. So there, Tosfot says that the condition was that they pooled their money together. When they pooled the money, they'll say, the two birds that I take out are mine, the two birds that you take out are yours. And they did at the time of the purchase. They said, we'll pool our money together, we buy the birds, and then whichever two birds come, I pick are mine, whichever two birds you pick are yours. And we mochel to each other, and then we own the birds. Korach says, my lememra. What type of chiddush is that? What? That we can define the birds? Of course you can do that. You can determine, you pull your money, you buy the birds, and you say that's mine and that's yours. Why is there any chiddush here? So the Gemara says that kamashmalan ki Rav Chisda, that it's like Rav Chisda. Tosfot says there are really two kamashmalans here. One kamashmalan is that we're not gozer, tznai, atushim lo b'tznai. We're not gozer, the fact that when you make the tznai where it's allowed, we're not gozer to the case where you didn't make the tznai where it's not allowed. But also kamashmalan ki Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda is something that we've seen before in Me'ilah. It's also found in the Gemara in Yoma, that there are only two points in time where you can define what the birds are. At the moment that you buy them, or at the moment that the Kohen does them. And the thing is teaching us that al tanai, when they buy them al tanai, they're still defining them at the time of lekicha, the time of purchase. And therefore they're allowed to define whose is whose birds at the moment of purchase. The other time that you're allowed to do that, again, will only be later on with the Kohen. Now when you have these two women, then they owned the birds already. If they own the birds, the Kohen can't redefine which belongs to Rachel and which one belongs to Leah, because they already defined who owned them, Rachel and Leah. Now the Kohen doesn't have to have in mind. He could just say, be makriv them stam. You can put them on his back and say, this is l'shem whomever, and this is l'shem whomever, and it works, because they own them, they already were defined. But they have to be defined beforehand at the time of the kicha.
He has to say l'shem someone's.
No, he could do it l'stam. Whomever this belongs to, it'll be l'shem those balim. We saw that in Tzvachim, that you have the ability to do that, and that he could do over here as well. That's Tnai Beitin. There's Tnai Beitin that six things are embedded when you do it. The Kohen just has a Stam Kavana. All six of those things happen. A negative Kavana will cause you a problem, but Stam Kavana will define as being what you're supposed to do, and that's the Tnai Beitin. Alright, we'll stop over here at the end of the parak. We'll begin the second parak tomorrow.